I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy St. Patty's Day to us all. And Dominic, we welcome back a fine guest. Just cleared the 48-hour rule. It's our pal, former U.S. Attorney James Santel. James, appreciate you coming back for us.
Good to be with you once again, twice in one week. Always a pleasure.
Well, they keep breaking the news on us. Jim, let me ask you. Joe Biden was interviewed by Stephanopoulos on ABC, and he said this, talking about Putin. He will pay a price. We had a long talk, he and I know him relatively well, and the conversation started off, and I said, I know you and you know me. If I establish this occurred, then be prepared. Now, after that threat, apparently Moscow called back their ambassador, and subsequent to that, Jen Psaki just went to the podium and said, our administration is going to take a different approach in our relationship to Russia than the prior administration. Well, Jim, perhaps they're not going to conspire with the Russians. We saw some troubling breaking news, Jim. First and foremost, what happened with the ambassador? And is this a threat? Are we seeing the immediate deterioration of U.S.-Russian relations?
We're certainly seeing a change in them, as you indicated, Mike, over what happened in the last administration. Undeniably, that is as a result not only of a better appreciation for history over the past 4 to 5 years, but also this report that came out from the national security folks, from the National Intelligence Council in particular, that pretty much confirms that once again, Russia was involved in our 2020 election, different mechanisms, different means of doing that. And this diplomatic response, the possibility of sanctions here, not unusual in a situation where once again, you've got a foreign actor. In this case, the Russian president himself identified in this report as being the one who orchestrated this, who supervised this. This is a direct response to and a strong response, unlike the prior administration, to a foreign nation interfering in our election and indicating to Putin that he is not going to get away with it.
Now, Jim, you'll indulge my bad analogy. We're just talking about massage parlors. But I remember when Putin and Trump appeared in Helsinki, it seemed like Trump offered him something of a happy ending, Jim. The denial that the Russians would possibly interfere in the 2016 election, Trump has denied. He called the Russian thing a hoax. He's denied the viability of the Mueller report. He said it basically exonerated him. Jim, does this new reporting change your opinion of what should happen going forward in regards to the U.S. relation, in regards to Trump and Russia?
It does not. And if anything, it explicitly reaffirms what Bob Mueller found, what all the reporting was in 2016. Why? In part because we've got the return of some of the same actors we saw in 2016. We've talked at length about this fellow named Derkach, who is the Ukrainian legislator, who was one of these proxies this report identifies. And perhaps even more significantly, Konstantin Kalimnik, this Russian agent with whom Rudy Giuliani and others have met on a regular basis. Those kinds of connections happened in 2016, a different kind of attempt to undermine our election. This time, not so much technological, not so much based upon the specifics of the voter registration, balloting, tabulation, reporting, those kinds of things, but using human beings to convey misinformation, using them, as I said, as proxies, and Kalimnik, Derkach, and others, and this affiliation, as your question indicates, with people affiliated with the Trump campaign continues, according to this report. So once again, a reaffirmation of the connection, a different kind of mechanism here, but very good reason, very good basis to believe that Russia was at it again, as were some other countries, although with less clear visions about what they wanted to do.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining us. We appreciate it, Jim. From the report, Derkach, Kalimnik, and their associates sought to use prominent U.S. persons and media conduits to launder their narratives to U.S. officials and audiences. These Russian proxies met with and provided materials to Trump administration-linked U.S. persons to advocate for formal investigations, hired a U.S. firm to petition U.S. officials, and attempted to make contact with several senior U.S. officials. They also made contact with established U.S. media figures and helped produce a documentary that aired on a U.S. television network in late January of 2020. Konstantin Kilimnik. Now, going back to the Mueller report, as mentioned, these characters continue to kind of come around. And I saw last night on MSNBC that Kilimnik now has a $250,000 bounty on his head to bring him in from the FBI. But Kilimnik's been around, Jim. Help us remind the audience, and correct me if I'm wrong, but my impression is that he was the guy who was receiving polling material from Paul Manafort while Paul Manafort was Donald Trump's campaign chair at some back bar in D.C. Jim, is that your recollection?
That's exactly right. You've got it precise because, of course, you have read all the Mueller report, including every footnote where all those are confirmed. Konstantin Kilimnik, a major figure in that report, and again, mentioned prominently in the most recent report, the connection you've got just right. Paul Manafort hires him initially as a part of, as a political consultant, a translator as a part of the Trump campaign. And again, those business relationships continue. That described at great length in the Mueller report. Interesting to note, of course, that Kilimnik is still under indictment for obstruction of justice here in America. He is plainly not coming here to our shores at any time soon, but thus the reason for the FBI not only renewed interest, but continuing interest in bringing him back here for that charge. Plainly, the recent report in which he is once again a major figure in doing these proxy engagements and trying to undermine our election, slightly different way here. The other significant thing I would note is the connection between Kilimnik and the Russian president Putin is clear, both in this recent report and the prior report, just one or two steps away, again, through Rudy Giuliani and others, from the former president himself, President Trump. And you've got the assessment of Kilimnik before and presently just right.
Jim, does this give any hint about what kind of liability or exposure Giuliani may have, more so than we had before this report?
I think that's the sort of local or domestic takeaway from even yesterday's report. It's unmistakable that when you talk about proxies and people engage again with Ukraine and with the Russians, we have seen credible reporting for a couple of years now about Rudy Giuliani's engagement with these foreign nationals. He is plainly, unmistakably under investigation. We will see what the United States Department of Justice does as to him. This only adds more confirmation to the fact that this was a person who was not only engaged in those communications, but almost certainly supporting in many ways the attempt to undermine our election directly and indirectly, the kinds of things for which others have already been indicted. I said last time we were on the air that likely that there will be charges coming out of New York. It is difficult for me to believe that Rudy Giuliani will simply go away in the next several years and retire into not obscurity, but back to his own family and so forth without being charged with something related to foreign involvement. And again, the undermining of our election process, as Kilimnik has already been.
Jim, does this report then offer any insight as to what kind of justice may be provided? I mean, Manafort basically got away with it. I mean, yeah, he went to jail for a little bit, if you call that jail, right? He went to Club Fed and he got pardoned by Trump, and Kilimnik apparently part of all of this. Is there anything in this report or any hope that you may have that prosecutions will arrive to perhaps Manafort? Is there anything that you could imagine coming on a state level that would, or something on a federal level that may not have been included in his initial pardon?
Right. One of the things that is notable, of course, is this is the unclassified version. It's a whopping 10 pages long. So once when I make an assignment to you and all the listeners to read it, it's very accessible. It's colorful. It's got all kinds of charts in it. And it's unlike the Mueller report. It is very, very accessible and a simple read. Note also, something we haven't talked about is that the appeals court in the state of New York, a number of weeks, maybe months ago now, found that Paul Manafort cannot be charged in the state system there the same kinds of things that were charged against him in the federal system. I don't know if we ever really talked about that, but that does have some impact upon this. The reason I raise the issue of the unclassified nature of this report is we don't have all the background information here. This is plainly a summary. I have no doubt that its focus, finding again of these attempts to denigrate Joe Biden's candidacy, to support Donald Trump's candidacy, to provide this massive disinformation campaign. All those kinds of things are there. We don't know all of the background to that. And of course, just because Paul Manafort was specific offenses by the Department of Justice for which he did go to jail doesn't mean that there is not exposure in other areas for him, in other areas, exactly.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our fine guest, James Santel, live via Zoom. Jim, wanted to ask you about U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. And Ron Johnson has had a weird connection to Trump. He was in the Ukraine seeking to extort Zelensky on behalf of the Trump administration. And here, Ron's version of it, he wanted Trump to release the missiles. And, you know, Trump was holding out because he wanted a favor, though. And the favor being sought was dirt on Joe Biden, his political rival. And then Ron Johnson went to the HISGEC, where he was once the committee chair, and started putting out these very irregular hearings. And apparently it was sourced from some of the same people that are mentioned in these Russian misinformation campaign dossiers. Jim, what's your impression? How was Ron Johnson involved in this in the new investigation? The new report, does it link Johnson at all?
Again, we don't have a specific reference to our senior senator from the state of Wisconsin in the report. We don't have all of the specifics as to that, specifically noted on the front page that some of the supporting information is not there because it is still classified. But to your point, this is one of the key findings about how Russia used people close to Trump, plainly our senior senator, to spread this disinformation. So it's a key element in Moscow's strategy was its use of proxies linked to Russian intelligence to push influence narratives, including misleading or unsubstantiated allegations against President Biden, to U.S. media organizations, U.S. officials, prominent U.S. individuals, including some close to former President Trump and his administration. Gosh, that sounds to me an awful lot like a road that's leading directly to people who are in positions of responsibility, have been, and have those close ties. I'm not indicating that's a specific reference to Senator Johnson, but that is the category of the kind of thing that this report reports on. And again, as I look at this, it is a reaffirmation of everything that we knew before, affirmed by both specific information, very general information. This is a reason once again for America to be very troubled about that spreading of disinformation, even beyond the attempt to undermine our election. Our senior senator is doing that on a regular basis.
Jim, my understanding, the Biden administration now has the transcripts of, let's say, phone calls between Donald Trump and Putin. There's other information, classified information, that the new president could declassify anytime he chooses. Do you think there will be a full declassification, a public declassification of the Mueller report? Are we done hearing about Russia? Are these just side notes in the papers? Or will this lead to something, in your opinion, counselor?
I think it'll lead to all of those things, candidly. I think that at some point, not just historically, perhaps during this administration, there'll be a lot of declassification, if you will, releasing of the redacted information from the Mueller report, which will answer many of your questions, Mike, which you've always had about those blackened pages in the report. But more significantly, no doubt that the fact that those conversations are now and have been in the possession of folks at the Department of Justice, in our national security community, with the FBI, plainly a part of a scouring, if you will, of what was said, what wasn't said. And it's difficult for me to believe that the U.S. Department of Justice is not at a minimum looking at the criminal exposure of our former president in many areas, including this one. One of the principal focuses that they should be looking at, and certainly are looking at, what was said, what kinds of representations made to a foreign leader, in this case, Putin, what is said to Ukrainians, what was said by United States senators, all of that could be a part of a future prosecution investigation, which will at some point be a part of our public domain.
Jim, at least will we get a committee hearing? Something? Throw me a bone, Jim.
Oversight by the Congress, an important part of their function. I anticipate that too, especially in the wake of this recent report. Yes, absolutely.
Our fine guest, former U.S. attorney, our friend, James Santel. Happy St. Paddy's to you, sir. Now stick
happy
around.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, gentlemen.
We got to see
you soon.
Tom Bennett checking in from Teamsters General, Local 200. There was a shooting in Oconomowoc. We're going to talk about it. It affected a couple Teamsters members.
Are you now, or have you ever worked for Russia?
I never worked for Russia.
Danny, this isn't Russia. Is this Russia? This isn't Russia, is it?
Nah. I don't see any reason why it would be.